Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This Pride Month, Risk has stories of LGBTQ folks from all walks of life. Go get the Risk podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We played this little bit of audio yesterday, and it had me thinking of some things. And I just actually just on the on Twitter had a picture pop up of an event that a Texans front office personnel group was at yesterday. A person from the Texans front office was presenting yesterday that is interesting, kind of plays into what we're about to talk about. But here was Kevin Clark of ESPN and Patrick Daugherty. Daugherty put some GM rankings together, 1 through 32. The voice you're going to hear predominantly in this clip is that of Kevin Clark talking about Nick Caserio, who is ranked 12th in this particular GM ranking.
Nick Caserio, to me, should be lower than 12.
Well, Caserio and Questing...
I feel so bad that this show has become me combing through your list and being like, this is... You are bad.
Well, you can
so
see Caserio, how hard this is. It's like...
It's top heavy. It's top heavy. He hit on Stroud. He hit on Will Anderson. But to me, the Caserio eval is going to come after this year. Because did you fix the offensive line, which we know was a glaring problem? Did you hit on one of those Iowa State receivers that's going to help CJ Stroud this year? Like, to me, this is the year... This is Nick Caserio's biggest year by far.
Okay. I mean, and that's you know, Kevin Clark's opinion. It is a big year. The offensive line definitely is something that is going to play heavy into Nick Caserio's grade for the upcoming season. I think it's a little unfair just to dismiss all the other stuff that Nick's done positively and write it off as, well, it's top heavy and he got CJ and he got Will Anderson. And there you go. You
know? Right, right. No, it's like just singling out those two guys and ignoring that he also did draft Derek Stingley. He drafted Kamari Lassiter. He drafted even Henry Toa, who's not, you know, marquee name or anything. But so, like the team is loaded with Nico Collins, you know, various other guys that to try to act like this is the draft where you figure out whether he's actually capable of drafting good players or something. Yeah. No. The offensive line point is very, very fair. But it is, and I know they're going through all the different GMs and everything, but I do have a hard time seeing like that somehow 12th is a stretch for a team that's had a winning record the last couple of years, was when Caserio took over, was an absolute, was a joke of the league. Yeah. Everybody like Kevin Clark or anybody else acted like the Texans were about to become the new Cleveland Browns. Yeah. Just it's easy to pile on. Hey, we'll make vague accusations of racism, and nobody's going to fact check us on it. Yep. Like all these things, they were the whipping boy.
They were
for
a punchline. They were a punchline.
They had no draft picks when Nick took over. They had a salary cap mess. The biggest mistake he made was shooting too low in hiring a bridge coach in David Culley. Mm-hmm. But other than that, he took over a disaster of a situation, which, by the way, the day he took the job, had no idea that Deshaun Watson was about to ask for a trade.
Yep.
And that also Deshaun Watson was going to end up being accused of at least 24 allegations of sexual misconduct.
Yep.
So, yeah, to act like, oh, well, he hit on Will Anderson and CJ Stroud. That's all he's done.
Yeah, the thing I wanted to hit on here that I think Nick's done a good job of is you talk about the draft, and I think he's drafted well. There have been hits and misses, no doubt. If people are bringing up counterpoints of the draft, I guarantee you we'll get a Kenyon Green text in the next 15 seconds.
Right.
I get it. Like, yeah, it's like not you're not going to hit on all of them. That's for sure. I think overall he's drafted very, very well. You know, by NFL standards, you know, not everybody hits on everything. I think the one thing too, just in thinking through this weekend, Seth, is, and that's when this kind of dawned on me, is that if you look at trades and free agency, especially when you're going after veteran guys that are more expensive, that is a slippery slope to try to supplement your team when you've drafted well. And again, similarly, he hasn't hit on all of them. But I think the net of the guys that Nick has brought in via trade and free agency far outweighs, in terms of quality, the guys that he sent out and what's happened with them after they've gone somewhere else. You know,
When you talk, when you think about, especially guys who might still be viable players, but they're overpaid, like Whitney Mercilus. Bill O'Brien gave Whitney Mercilus a contract that was almost like a reward for him being a good dude. But it was a vast overpayment for where he was in his career.
Yeah.
That's not a shot at Whitney Mercilus in his career or anything. It was just, it was bad GMing by Bill O'Brien at that point.
Nick, the veteran guys that Nick has brought in, I think have been by and large very positive. Joe Mixon, Danielle Hunter, Stephon Diggs was trending that way until he tore his ACL. I have a hard time putting a torn ACL on Nick Caserio. Like Stephon Diggs was, if Stephon Diggs didn't tear his ACL and did for the remainder of the season what he had done through those first eight games, I think that would have been a good trade for a second round pick for a guy for a veteran, you know, Pro Bowl level player. Azeez Al-Shaair, you know, when he's been on the field, has been good. We'll see what C.J. Gardner-Johnson and Nick Chubb do, but those are big names. Christian Kirk too. Those are three big names that have been productive NFL players. I'm confident that at least two of those three, just based on the ratio that Nick had, and there have been some misses, you know, Dalton Schultz had one good year and then he wasn't so good last year, and it might be an overpay. We'll see. Danico Autry has had his issues, but when he's been on the field, I think Danico Autry has been pretty good. So I think by and large, the guys he's brought in have been net positive versus, say, the guys they've sent off, like the Deshaun Watson's obviously the big one. He was a disaster in Cleveland, but traded out Brandon Cooks, hasn't really done anything since. You know, got, you know, cleaned out Zach Cunningham and Bradley Roby and Whitney Mercilus. You know, letting Grenard go, and Grenard's been good, and Amenihu's been good. There have been some misses on the guys they've let go, but I think the overall net has been very positive for the Texans.
I think that if there's one area, if I were to kind of group them, some of the veteran guys that he's brought in, including Danico Autry. You know, Danico Autry was in his 30s, had a career year the year before. Nick wouldn't have known this, but he was about to get popped with a PED suspension the summer after he has one of his best seasons as a 30-plus-year-old player. Shaq Mason is another guy that they brought in as a veteran who was past his prime but got a nice, healthy extension by Nick. Some of those questions, I wonder about a little bit. I think since he's been paired with D'Amico over the last couple of years, I think they've done a better job of kind of identifying, all right, what kind of veteran presence do we want? We know that it might be a little bit of an overpay for a guy who's in his declining years. We want to be sure 100% that he's at least a viable player and that he's a good influence on the younger players. That's where having Jerry Hughes around for a couple of years,
yeah,
I think was
one.
Really good.
Yeah, it's a good
very
one.
Affordable, but also a really good mentor for a guy like Will Anderson.
Yeah.
And, you know, that swapping out Danielle Hunter for Jonathan Grenard, look, you can look at that, and depending on which way you look at it, you can say it was a huge win for Minnesota or a huge win for Houston. I think that because Grenard had a great year last year.
He did, yep.
I think having a mentor like Danielle has been huge for Will Anderson.
Yeah.
So I that part of it, I think he's managed real well. There's just, when you bring in a lot of guys who are in their 30s, you're going to whiff on a few of them.
Yeah, of course, of course. I think just the balance sheet of what he's done in that aspect has been really, really good. You know, even guy like, you know, Shaq Mason was not good last year. The first year he was here, he was the only guy that managed to stay healthy all year. You know,
And another guy, if you talk about veterans they've signed, like the Cam Akers experiment last year, that was exactly what I like. I said on the day they did it, I said, don't get your hopes up because of Cam Akers' injury history, but it's so low risk.
Yep.
And you ended up getting draft picks out of it. You could argue that maybe they shouldn't have drafted him away given the situation with the Texans offense, but whatever. They did. They got something out of it. Basically, like, whatever his minimal contract was, they got a draft pick out of it. And that's there's a more extreme version of it going on with Nick Chubb right now. That is so low risk, but such potentially high reward that it's almost like you find a lottery ticket that's going to cost you a dollar, but you've actually got a 1 in 20 chance of winning $100 million. You'd buy that. You'd buy that lottery ticket.
Yeah, you know? For sure. I think, you know, Cam Akers did some good things enough to where Minnesota wanted to trade for him. I do think if Nick Chubb is doing good things, there's no chance he gets traded like Cam Akers did.
No, because I think the upside is still, it's so much higher than with, because Cam still, he had a really electrifying rookie year, and the highlights were so good that people people weren't really, even taking the injuries into it, they weren't considering the fact that he really hadn't been all that great a running back since his rookie year, whereas Nick Chubb's been one of the best running backs in the league when healthy.
Well, and I think Nick Chubb, too, maybe different type of leadership. He's kind of a quiet guy, but he's a guy that I think they want in that locker room probably, too. I'm not saying Cam Akers wasn't. But Nick Chubb
But there's never been a – I mean, there are all kinds of stories from L.A. where the coach and the GM were basically just openly throwing shade at Cam Akers.
Some
of the disgruntlement in the locker room. Yep. It was probably blown up by the media and everything, but you'll find zero reports about anything like that with Nick Chubb.
Yeah, I just think – man, I think Kevin Clark just sounds so dismissive of Caserio in that cut. You know, like that 12th is some major reach. Like, you're a 12th, you're starting to skew towards middle of the pack, and I think Nick Caserio is definitely – a better than middle of the pack general manager, you know?
It's the things that I hate when some of the people that really like to lean into the analytics and everything, they want a GM to operate a certain way, but then they're very grudging to give the credit for acting exactly the way they would want to.
Yeah.
Like, oh, wait, he was willing to endure a couple of rough seasons as they restocked and reloaded, and then he got super aggressive in free agency 2 years ago.
Yep.
Like, he's followed the blueprint, and yet because what they'll do is they'll point to the Texans, they'll say, well, you know, turnovers are very much a luck-based thing, and we can't rely on the Texans creating as many turnovers this year, but they ignore the actual substantive things that led to those turnovers, being top five in sacks, being top five in interceptions, being top five in tackles for a loss, like very things that are more
sustainable,
yep. Right? Yeah. Like they don't want to give credit for that. So, like, that part of the defense is very, very real. Yeah, there's always going to be a pendulum swing one way or the other. But it's and then calling making the playoffs twice flukish was the weirdest thing that is.
That was the other guy who said that. Yeah, that was weird. Yeah. That was weird.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This Pride Month, Risk has stories of LGBTQ folks from all walks of life. Go get the Risk podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So did you see some of these pictures that Jeremy Fowler was tweeting out yesterday? He was at some event that looked like a bunch of the personnel people in the NFL were getting up and presenting different things about how they've gone about their business. Like they had Will McClay from the Cowboys, VP of player personnel, was doing a presentation on how they do player evaluation. They had an Eagles front office guy named Charles Walls up there talking about trust and empowerment and how that's been successful in helping the Eagles build a Super Bowl. And they had a front office member for the Texans. Steve Cargile is his name. He's a senior personnel exec. And there's a slide. It's a gigantic movie screen with a slide. And the title of the slide in big letters says "Executing Your Offseason Plan," and he's got listed all the trades that the Texans have made over the last really three off seasons, going back this off season, last off season, and in 2023 as well. Just listing them all, and I'm assuming presenting and talking about each of them. And I'm looking at this. I got to find out what this event is and who the audience
is. GM Summit.
It's a GM Summit? Okay.
Yeah. You know, the GM Summit. Well,
we giving away all the answers to the test?
Who's giving the presentation?
It's a person by the name of Steve Cargile, who's a Texans senior personnel exec. And the slide lists Texans examples of executing your offseason plan. And it's got the Shaq Mason trade from 2 years ago. It's got last year's trade for Mixon, Diggs, this year's trade for Christian Kirk and C.J. Gardner-Johnson. And I think the point of it, this is Fowler's caption for the tweet, says, Texans senior personnel exec Steve Cargile highlights Houston's flurry of recent trades when discussing free agency plans. Quote, it's a way to win on the margins. Texans, this is Jeremy Fowler saying this last part, Texans unafraid to swing trades for players likely to be released to ensure that they secure talent. And they've done a lot of that. C.J. Gardner-Johnson, Joe Mixon, Christian Kirk are all examples of that. They were about to get cut by their current teams, and the Texans are like, all right, well, we're willing to take on their contract. Here's a seventh round pick or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So why are they giving it? I don't know. I think it's probably a kind of that mentality of it's like when you want to send your people off to – you want to keep your people in your organization, whether it's football or otherwise. You want to keep them fresh. You want to keep them curious. You want to keep them just constantly thinking and just keep that ground fertile.
Yeah.
And that's like fertilization. As you go out and you do those things – And say, oh no, you're giving away all of our secrets. Well, no, but the other teams are talking too. And as long as you've got smarter people than the other organization,
pick up some things,
you can do more with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm all for that. Remember Tom Brady told the story about how he and Peyton Manning got together one offseason?
Yeah.
Didn't tell Belichick about it at all. But that both those guys are probably, you know, they're like, yeah, we can learn. And Belichick was notorious for being really good at soaking up information from people, but not divulging anything.
Yeah, that's so, this to me.
Yeah.
Belichick is sending his personnel people to this thing?
Belichick was in a different situation where he was at the pinnacle and people were just throwing information at him to the where he could kind of pick and choose. I'm cool. It's different ways to approach it. Because what happens in football especially is, man, and there's high school coaches listening who probably know and get this. Sometimes you get stuck in this rut where you do what you do and you're never going out and seeking new ideas or anything. And then all of a sudden you're running an antiquated system.
Yeah.
And there's value in that too. You get really, really good at doing what you're doing, but sometimes the game passes you by if you don't stay fresh with all that.
I think the lesson in this slide right here and in what the Texans have done in picking up some of those scrap pieces from other teams that they were getting ready to cut, the lesson is always be talking to people. My guess is that Nick Caserio is constantly in communication with other GMs. And I'll contrast that to, say, like Brian Gain, who was here for a year and a half, and it didn't feel like he talked to any other teams, you know?
Yeah.
And then no deals get made. When you're always talking and you're always networking like that, that's when, like, Howie Roseman's getting rid of C.J. Gardner-Johnson. Nick will be one of the first guys he thinks of to call because they've got that communication pattern, you know?
Well, yeah, and I think with a lot of the GMs, they take an approach that's very much like commercial real estate. When... like within commercial real estate, when there's a buyer and a seller and they're both professionals, it's not like one's trying to screw the other one over typically. It's like they're trying to find a way to make the deal work for both sides. Mm-hmm. Like, all right, this way we can structure the financing this way, that, et cetera. And Nick very much takes that approach in that, all right, there's 31 other teams that I'd like to do business with.
Yeah.
If you have a reputation of somebody that's always trying to win the trade or always trying to screw the other, you're not going to get that many opportunities.
And he's not that. You
know, Daryl Morey, very much that same attitude.
Yeah.
And I like that. And Nick will talk about in that same psychological approach with his own players. You're in a partnership with these players.
Yeah.
You're not trying to screw them with a deal that they're not going to be happy with when they wake up and realize they got screwed. You got to have a working relationship. Yep. So let's have a give and take. Let's have an open dialogue.
Got to be a win-win. Absolutely.
Well, and you know that, in giving out kind of some of your, maybe you don't give away the secret sauce, but letting other teams know the way you operate, that lets them kind of maybe think of, oh, this is a way we could operate. This is a way we could work with the Texans. If they approach it this way, okay, you know what? We've got a guy on our roster that might make
sense. That's a really good point. Like, oh, you're telling me that there's a team that's really willing to come pick up my recyclables off the curb. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Let's do some headlines. If you're just getting in your car, we'll get you up to speed on the Astros. We'll get you up to see. We got a little bit of Texans news, Rockets as well. We'll get into all of that in headlines coming up next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Risk is the show where people tell true stories they never thought they'd dare to share. A podcast all about human connection and radical honesty. All through June for Pride Month, Risk will be featuring the stories of LGBTQ folks from all walks of life. You'll laugh, cry, and maybe even end up feeling a little bit better. Go get Risk on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.